The Gare du Nord in Paris is teeming. She emerges through the platform gates and is frozen to the spot, standing in the middle of crowds of people, all pushing and shoving, wheeled cases crashing into her shins. Groups of youths in tracksuit tops stare sullenly from the sidelines, and she remembers suddenly that the Gare du Nord is the pickpocketing epicenter of France. Her handbag clamped to her side, she walks tentatively in one direction and then the other, temporarily lost among the glass kiosks and escalators that seem to lead nowhere. A three-note chime sounds on the loudspeaker, and the station announcer says something in French that Nell can't understand. Everyone else is walking briskly, as if they know where they're going. It is dark outside, and she feels panic rising like a bubble in her chest. I'm in a strange city, and I don't even speak the language. And then she sees the suspended sign. Taxis. The queue is 50 people long, but she doesn't care. She scrabbles in her bag for the hotel printout, and when she finally reaches the front of the queue, she holds it out. Hotel Bonneville, she says. S'il vous plaît? The driver looks back at her as if he cannot understand what she says. Hotel Bonneville, she says, trying to sound French. She had practiced at home in front of the mirror. She tries again. Bonneville? He looks blank and snatches the piece of paper from her. He stares at it for a moment. Ah, Hotel Bonneville, he says, lifting his eyes to heaven. He thrusts the piece of paper back at her and pulls into the heavy traffic. Nell sits back in the seat and lets out a long breath. And welcome to Paris. The journey, hobbled by traffic, takes 20 long, expensive minutes. She gazes out the window at the busy streets, the hairdressers and nail bars, repeating the French road signs under her breath. The elegant grey buildings rise high into the city sky, and the coffee shops glow in the winter night. Paris, she thinks, and with a sudden, unexpected surge of excitement, she feels suddenly that it will be okay. Pete will come later. She will be waiting for him at the hotel, and tomorrow they will laugh at how worried she was about traveling alone. He always said she was too much of a worrier. Chill out, babe, he will say. Pete never got stressed about anything. He'd traveled the world with his backpack and still carried his passport in his pocket, just in case. When he'd been held up at gunpoint in Laos, he'd said he'd just chilled. No point getting stressed about it. Either they were going to shoot me or they weren't. Nothing I could do about it. Then he nodded. We ended up going for a beer with those guys. Or there was a time when he was on a small ferry in Kenya, which overturned, mid-river. We just cut the tires off the sides of the boat and hung on till help came. I was pretty chill about that too, till they told me there were crocodiles in the water. She sometimes wondered why Pete, with his tanned features and his endless life experiences, even if the girls sniffed at them, had chosen her. She wasn't flashy or wild. In fact, she had barely been beyond her own postcode. He once told her he liked her because she didn't give him a hard time. Other girlfriends are like this in my ear, he mimed a yapping motion with his hand. You, well, you're relaxing to be with. Nell occasionally wondered if this made her sound a bit like a furniture warehouse sofa, but it was probably best not to question these things too hard.